السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayah 26 to 31 today of Surah Al-An'am. We'll start off with the word meanings, inshallah. Beginning with ayah 26 of Surah An'am. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa and hum they yanhauna. They forbid. Naha is the root word. Nunha, and that means to stop, to forbid. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and the ona ending means that this is plural. So it doesn't mean he, it means they. This is plural. So yanhauna, they forbid or they stop. An, from, hu, it, wa, and yanauna, they keep away. Na'a means to stay away. So ya in the beginning again tells us this word's in the third person, and ona ending means that it's plural. So yanauna, they stay away, un, from, who, it, wa, and in, not, yuhlikuna, they destroy. Ha, lam, kaf is the root word, halak, and that means to destroy, destruction. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending, again, means that this word is plural. So yuhlikuna, they destroy. Illa, except. And please note that the word in right before yuhlikuna does not mean if here, as it usually does. It means not, because it's followed by illa shortly afterwards in the same ayah. Okay, so whenever we see the word in and it's followed by illa after a few words, it means that the meaning of in changes to not. Okay, so wa in and na yuhlikuna, they destroy, illa, except, anfusahum. Anfus is plural for the word nafs, okay, which means a soul. So anfus, souls, hum, theirs. And so anfusahum means themselves. Wa, while, ma, not, yash'urun. Sheen, ayn, ra is the root word here. Sha'ur, and that means to perceive. Okay, perception. Ya in the beginning of the word tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yash'urun, they perceive or they understand. Wa and lo, if, tara, you see. Ra'a is the root word, and that means to see. Ta in the beginning means you. So tara, you see, idh, when, wukifu, they are made to stand. Waqf is the root word, and that means to stand, okay? To pause. So wukifu is passive. We know because it begins with a dhamma, and we know it's plural. It's speaking about a lot of people, this verb, because it ends in waw alif. So idh, when, wukifu, they are made to stand. They are detained. Ala, upon, annar, al means the, nar, hellfire, fa, so, or then, qalu, they said, or they will say, ya laytana, ya, o, layta, wo, na, to us, nuraddu, we would be returned. Nun in the beginning means we. So nuraddu, we are returned. This is passive. Wa and la, na, nukadhiba. Nun in the beginning means we, and kadhiba means a lie. And this is a verb in this form. So nukadhiba, we be lie. Be with ayati, ayat meaning signs or verses. Rabbina, Rabb, Lord, creator, master, sustainer. Na, ours. Wa, and nakuna, will be. Nun in the beginning means we, and kuna means to be. So nakuna, we will be. Min from al-mu'mineen, those who believe. Iman is the root word, and that means to believe. Adding a meme to it in the beginning, making it mu'min, would mean a believer. That becomes a noun. And making this word end in ina means that it's plural. So al means the mu'mineen, who the believers, or those who believe. Bal, rather, bada, it appeared or became clear. Lahum, la, for, or to whom, them, ma, whatever, kanu, they were. So this is the plural form of the word kun, which means to be. Kanu, they were, or they used to. Yukhfuna. So khafa is the root word, ikhfa, which means to hide. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person. Una ending makes this word plural. So yukhfuna, they hide. Min from qabl, before. Wa, and lo, if. Ruddu, they are returned, or they were returned. Now this is the same word that we covered above in ayah 27, nuraddu, which meant we are returned. So uruddu is in the third person and it's plural. So uruddu, they were turned back or returned. La adu, la, surely. Adu, they reverted. Okay, or repeated. Li, to. Ma, what, or for what. Nuhu, they were forbidden. So this is the same word that we covered above in ayah 26, yanhona. So naha, but it's in the passive form. The noon has a dhamma on it, and we see that it ends in wawalif. It's a verb, so it's plural. So nuhu, they were forbidden. An, from, who, it, wa, and. Innahum, inna, indeed, hum, they, lakadhibun, la, surely. Kadhib comes from the word kadhiba, which means a lie. Kadhib means a liar, and una ending makes this word plural. So lakadhibun means surely liars, or ones who lie. Wa, and. Qalu, they said. So third person, plural. In, not. Hiya, it. Illa, except. So again, this in does not mean if. It means not, because it's followed by illa here. So in hiya, not in. Illa, except. Hayatuna, hayat, life. Na, ours. Ad-dunya, al means the, and dunya means the near world. Wa, and. Ma, not, or nor. Nahnu, we. Bi mab'uthin, at all ones to be resurrected. Ba'atha is the root word, and that means to raise. And mab'uth means to be raised, to be resurrected. Bi means at all. And ina ending makes this word plural. So nahnu, we, bimab'uthin, at all ones who will be resurrected. Wa, and. Law, if. Tara, you see. Ith, when. Wukifu, they were made to stand. This word comes from waqf again, which means to detain. And it's in the passive third person plural form. Wukifu, they were detained. Ala, before. Rabbihim, Rabb, Lord, Master, Sustainer, him, theirs. Qala, he said, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Alaysa, a is used in the beginning to ask a question. So a is, laysa, it not, hadha, this بالحق. Be in the beginning here means definitely. أو the حق, truth or reality. So هذا this بالحق, definitely the reality. قالوا, they said, meaning they will say, بلا, why not, or yes, و by ربنا, our Lord. قال, he said, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, فذوقوا, fa so, ذوقوا, you all taste. This is plural, it's a command, and it's in the second person. So, فذوقوا, so you all taste. العذاب, al means the, عذاب, punishment, بما, be, because, ما, of what, كنتم, كن, were, تم, all of you, تكفرون, you all disbelieve. Kufr is the root word, and kufr means to disbelieve. Ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So takfurun, you all disbelieve. Qad, in fact, khasira, he lost. Alladhina, those who. So the word alladhina follows khasira, so it doesn't mean actually mean he lost. It's in the third person, but it can be plural as well. So put together with alladhina, khasira would mean they lost. Okay, so qad, in fact, khasira alladhina, lost those who, kadhabu, they belied. Now this is the same word that we covered above. And the root word is kadhib, which means a lie. So kadhabu is in the third person and it's plural. Kadhabu, they belied, be with liqa'i, meeting Allahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hatta, until, idha, when, ja'atum, ja'at, came home to them, as-sa'adu, al means the sa'a, hour, baghtatan, suddenly, unexpectedly. Qalu, they said, ya hasratana, ya means oh, hasrat, alas, na, for us, ala, upon, ma, what, farotna, farot, neglected, we, and na means we, so farotna, we extremely neglected, fi, in, ha, it, wa, and, hum, they, yahmiluna, they carry, ha, mim, lam, hamal is the root word, and that means to carry, okay, a burden. So, ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So, wahum, and they, yahmiluna, they carry, awzarahum, awzar is plural for the word vizra, which means a burden. Awzara, burdens, hum, theirs. Ala, upon, zuhurihim. Zuhur is the plural form of the word zohri, which means the back. So zuhur, backs, him, theirs. Ala, beware. Sa'a, how bad or evil. Ma, what, yazirun, they bear. So this word comes from vizra, which means a burden. And ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person, and una ending makes this word plural. So yazirun, they bear or they carry. Alhamdulillah. Now we're going to start the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we had been learning about how people listen to the Quran, but they say that it has stories of the former people. That's what we learned in ayah number 25, in the 25th ayah of Surah An'am, that people would go to listen to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they would say, oh, the Quran just tells stories of people who lived before. instead of obtaining guidance from it, they go away themselves, they keep away from it, even though they know that it's the truth. They stay away and they keep others away too. They forbid others. And that happens because their hearts are sealed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us next, وَهُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ. And they forbid other people to believe in it. The leaders of the mushrikeen, the leaders of the polytheists of Mecca, they used to forbid others because they used to go to spend time with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. And they would listen to the Quran, pretend that they're eagerly listening, as we learned in the ayat last week, that they want to really learn about it. But they wouldn't be listening to obtain guidance. So they would go back to their people and say that there's nothing special about Islam or the Quran. We listened and we weren't impressed. So they did that on purpose so other people would not turn to deen or accept Islam. Because people are easily influenced by things that their leaders say. So the leaders tried to discourage their people. They did not want them accepting Islam. Okay, so the lesson that we should derive from all this is that when we hear a scholar or somebody that we consider very important, when we hear them say something that doesn't make sense, something that goes against the teachings of Islam, we should know that it is possible for them to be wrong, that they can be wrong. We can't follow them blindly just because they are well known or we respect them or we're impressed by them. We have to be sensible when it comes to our religion, when it comes to deen. There are some people who say things just to promote their sect. Or they can have other intentions, right? So we have to be careful. Because the only people who were free of sin were the prophets. They conveyed the message of Allah exactly as it was given to them. And after them, the Sahaba had great ranks and they did amazing work, subhanAllah, and they conveyed the message to us. But when it comes to anyone else, we have to think about what they're saying before we just blindly follow them. So that's how the leaders of the Jews and the Mushrikeen used to lead others astray from deen. Okay? Because others followed them. So they knew whatever they said would affect their people. And they used to say things on purpose to turn them away. Now, we should check to make sure that we don't say anything to make others turn away from the Quran. Because we don't know. Someone might be listening or they might be influenced by what we say. A lot of times people say things unintentionally that end up stopping others from studying the Quran. Okay? How do Quran students, students who learn the Quran, how do they scare off others sometimes? They start complaining that the work is too hard, okay? Or they say that class is too long. If someone's taking a Quran class, for example, they would say, oh, the class time is too long, or it's too much work, or that memorizing it is very difficult, it's tajweed is hard. They say things like that. When they say something like that around other people who are not yet connected to the Quran, who may be thinking about it, who are considering it, they're basically driving them away. And they become the reason for that person not being able to connect to the Quran, not being able to understand it. So we must be really sensible when we speak to other people. Right? We have to be very careful that we don't drive anyone away from the Quran unintentionally. So we don't want to impact anyone in a negative way. So we shouldn't say anything that makes it seem like life becomes so difficult after starting to study the Quran, because honestly, it doesn't. We have to tell them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes ease when we try to study His word, and things become easier and easier as we go on. And it helps us get through the toughest situations because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us strength as we study it. So we should not drive others away by telling them that, oh, it requires a lot of time, are you willing to do this? Just try to get them to connect, to try to understand the Quran. Okay? So if someone is spending time memorizing it, we shouldn't say, oh, wow, that's really hard. How do you do it? We should say, Subhanallah, you're doing a great job. I really want to do it too. Right? So we should be careful. And we should know that we don't want to turn anyone away from the Quran unconsciously. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the mushrikeen of Makkah forbid others from the truth. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ, and they forbid from it. What do they forbid from? The Quran, because the Quran was the source of guidance. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ, and they keep away from it themselves. They stay away from it, turning away from the truth. Not only did they do that, they also plotted and turned others away from the Quran too. Nazar bin Haris used to bring slave girls to sing and dance in front of people, and he would bring storytellers to distract people who were thinking of accepting Islam. He instructed those girls to sing and dance for people so much in a way that they would just forget that they had thought about Islam. Sadly, nowadays, even Muslims do similar things. They are distracted by so many things. They enjoy other things so much. They're so caught up in the enjoyment of this world that they say that they don't have time for the Quran. But when people say that, they should really think about what they do throughout their day to try to figure out how much time they spend doing what throughout the day. Okay, to try to figure out what they spend all their time doing. A lot of times, we waste so much time doing useless things. Things that aren't even important. And we act like we can't live without doing those things. Just because we're so used to it. People waste hours watching TV. Or on social media, the internet, the phone. They spend so much time on these things, but they don't even realize it. They act like it's perfectly normal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they stayed away from the truth themselves, and they forbade others from it as well. They stopped others in many ways. Today, people stop others as well from practicing Islam. It may be done differently in a more modern sort of way, but it does happen. We get distracted by parties and activities that get in our way when we're trying to practice. And these activities get in the way of others. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with such behavior, وَإِنْ يُهْلِكُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They harm nobody. They harm none but their own souls. But they don't perceive it. They are falling to destruction. They're causing the most loss to themselves when they do such things. Whatever activities people plot against Deen, whether it's the media or whoever else, they may be thinking that they're doing something good when they turn others away from Islam, when they dissuade others. But they don't realize that they are harming themselves the most. They are doing it themselves. And they can't even avoid it because they don't realize how bad it is for them. The mushrikeen leaders went to extremes to get in the way of anyone who thought about accepting Islam. But people do similar things now too. So we should think about our actions and the things we say, the activities we plan, and make sure that we aren't doing anything to turn away others from deen. That we're not doing anything to get in the way of people practicing Islam, because we don't want to be a part of it. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us back to the ground of Hashr, where we will all be gathered. And he tells us about what will happen to people who do such things. People can't understand these things here in life, so he tells them what to expect as a result of these actions. And it's a great blessing that he has told us about these things here, about things that are going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Because if he had not warned us, there would have been no way that we would know about it. Nobody else could have told us about these things. No matter how educated or knowledgeable a person is, it's not possible for anyone to know about what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. And if you could witness the scene when they will be made to stand before the hellfire. If only you could do that. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really wants us to know what's going to happen there. And physically, it's not possible for us to see the things that are mentioned here with our own eyes. But we can imagine, right? He warns us so we can imagine it and benefit from that warning. So we've been learning about people who stay away from the truth and stop others from it as well. People who don't accept Islam properly and they forbid others. They turned away from the guidance that was sent for them. They kept running from it until وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. They are made to stand upon the fire. And what will happen then? فَقَالُوا. Then they'll say, يَا لَيْتَنَا. Oh, woe to us. نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We wish we could return to earthly life again. Then we would not deny the revelations of our Lord. We wouldn't deny His revelations, and we would join the believers. If only they would understand this today, while they're still alive, instead of standing upon the fire and realizing. And by the fire, al-nar, it means that they are either standing on Jahannam, on the bridge of Sirat, over Jahannam, or on the edge of Jahannam. They're not thrown in yet. They're about to be thrown in. They're about to be pushed in. And look at what they're saying. This statement should be eye-opening for us, because it shows us how regretful they're going to be. They will wish that they could be sent back to this life. And then they say that they would do two things if they were returned to the life of this world. The life of dunya. They say that they would never deny the verses of their Lord. They would never reject the ayat. And they would be of the believers. They would believe everything and listen. So this is what criminals will wish to do there at the end. They won't care about anything else that they weren't able to do during their life. But they will just want to do these two things. They'll want to come back a second chance just to do these two things. The things people worry about in life now when they're alive will not even matter. And the only thing people will be sad about is not listening to and accepting the verses sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not having believed. They'll want to be among the true believers, the mu'mineen, and not reject any of the ayat of Allah. We have the freedom to do whatever we want in life while we're still alive here today. But many people mistake this for being granted freedom forever. They forget that this freedom is temporary. We're only free to do what we want now, here. And they forget that they're going to be returned to their Lord for account taking one day, and they will not be able to say anything against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like they dare to now. When they're made to stand above the fire, they won't think of anything else besides being regretful for not believing. That's the only thing they're going to regret. Then they'll understand the value of Iman. How valuable faith is. They're going to understand there. And they never understood that in life. They never cared to be true believers here. They didn't value Iman or care to avoid things that decrease a person's Iman. Things that we learn about from Hadith that decrease a person's Iman, they never took seriously, because there are certain things people do that lead to people's Iman decreasing or people losing their faith. We have to avoid those things, because Iman will be the most valuable thing there, the most precious thing. And people will wish that they had it. They will wish to be returned to this life and become true believers. Bal, rather, badalahum ma kanu yukhfuna min qabl. Appeared for them whatever they were hiding before. So they will say this because they had come to know the reality which they were concealing before. They had been hiding their disbelief. And if they were hypocrites, they had been concealing their hypocrisy. And people hide their sins here too, right? So they were also hiding their sins from other people. So whatever they had been concealing will become apparent to everyone. All the secrets will be exposed on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as a matter of fact, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَانُهُ عَنْهُ. And even if they're sent back, they would certainly repeat the same things which they had been forbidden to do before. They would do the same exact thing again. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And indeed, they are surely liars. So even if they had been returned to worldly life, if they got a second chance, they would have reverted to whatever they were told not to do again. They would do the same thing again. Now, why would they do the exact same thing again as they had done before if they were to be returned? Because whatever they did the first time, they would do again if they had the chance and were in the same situation. They would repeat the same things again. And just as people present excuses when they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now and say that they are forced to do certain things even though they don't want to do them, that's exactly what they would do if they got a second chance. They would think the same way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows already what they would do. So even though they're going to be begging and they will be so regretful, He says that they would do the same exact thing again. If He sent them back, they'll repeat whatever they did. This should be a wake-up call for all of us. We should listen to his orders now and obey him. Believe with certainty. Why wait for that to happen when people are made to stand before the fire? We don't want to regret then. Why can't we do the things we're supposed to do now? We should try to imagine this. Let's imagine ourselves standing upon the fire, calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, screaming for help, begging him, asking him to return us to this life. Just pretend that he has sent us back. Okay? That he has answered our dua and he has sent us back to life now. Now, what should we be doing? How do we do things differently to avoid going through that on the Day of Judgment? Now is the time to act. Pretend that we have a second chance and we're back. We have a chance until death comes. Do the right thing. And we should believe with certainty. Belief in Jannah, Jahannam, the Day of Judgment, account taking, as if we have seen those things already and come back. That's what we need to have. And what do we do now? Let's start today and do all the things that we need to do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval. Because once we get to the hereafter, we will not be returned, no matter what. There is no return. We only have this one life. That's why people will not be returned, even when they beg for another chance. Then they won't remember any arguments or excuses they used to present in this life for not practicing. They will know that the only chance they have is if they could return. And that's not going to happen. So by telling us all these things about how people will be on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes the value of Iman in this life. How valuable it is to have faith. So we can take life seriously and use it to our advantage now. Do the things we must do in order to succeed in the hereafter. He tells us what people will wish for then. So we don't have to go through regrets like that and wish for those things. How can we waste time when we don't have extra time to waste? We only have one life that we can't waste away doing useless things. We have to do things that will lead to success in our eternal lives. And this life is very short. So we should try to do what we can here. So we can see the result that will please us in the hereafter. Send forth good deeds now for eternal happiness there. Because we lose the chance to do good deeds as soon as death comes. We can't add to good deeds after that, because that opportunity is over. That chance is over. Even good deeds we get for saying salam to someone, that chance is up once we die. And the chance to smile at someone and be rewarded for giving charity, how easy is that? But that chance is over too. We don't have the chance to do that again once we die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us so much for such small and easy actions that we don't even think are important now. We take them for granted as if they don't matter. But they do matter. They add up. And the person who is dead can't do that to seek reward. They really want to do these things, but they can't. We can easily earn good deeds just by saying Bismillah before we start doing anything. Do the dhikr of Allah as much as we can. Avail the chances we have to do anything good. Life is passing so quickly. Just like ice melts quickly, and how sand flows through the hourglass, it comes to an end. And then there are so many difficulties ahead. It will not be easy. It's going to be very difficult. We cannot go there empty-handed without good deeds. What are we doing to prepare for it? Ask yourself. Because we are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every second that passes in a state of negligence. If we're doing things that are not good for our end, we're going to be questioned about them. So we should value our time. It's very precious, because once it's up, when we die, we can't even add another second to the time that has been decreed for us. We have to accomplish so much over this short lifespan if we want to succeed. So we cannot waste our time. Our predecessors used to dig a hole in their homes, and from time to time, they used to go and lie down in the hole, silently, with their eyes closed. They used to pretend that they are dead in their graves, and there's no return to life. And then they would think of all the things that make them uncomfortable at that point. Okay, all the things that they should be doing that they were not doing. They would think of those things. And then they would work on the things that they were lacking in. The Sahaba used to do that. Of course, we can't get to their level, but we can at least try to imagine this when we are in bed on a dark night. Think about what would happen if we die right then, right there in bed. Think about it. How would we feel then? What bothers me? What have I not done yet that I should have done before death came? Imagine that it's too late since I'm dead already, but you may remember many things that are left to do, like paying someone back after taking a loan from them. Even when we had money, we just kept procrastinating as if it's okay. Or we may remember that we were unjust towards other people. We weren't fair. We knew that we were wrong, but we didn't apologize because we were too proud. We didn't want to admit that we were wrong. So how do I apologize now when it's too late, when I'm dead? Think of it that way. Think of the person we might have lost touch with. Think of how to connect with that person again. Or if we didn't fulfill someone's right, because we owe that person if we didn't, how would we fulfill it if we died? How about the needy people who needed my help? I was told to help them, just do my share, add a little bit, but I didn't bother because I was too worried about buying my own expensive clothes and jewelry and other things. I left all these chances behind in dunya to do good. So was there a point? If I had given that money to a needy person instead of spending so much on my own things that I left in this world before dying. Because the moment we die, everything we own is left behind. It's useless to us when we're dead. So if I had spent even a portion of it to help someone needy, that charity would have been with me in my grave. There would not have been a need to bring those things along, but they would have come in handy, the things we gave to the poor, to the less fortunate. This is what the Sahaba did, and they would feel so bad about when they stopped to think that way, imagining that they were dead. And they would come out of the hole that they pretended was their grave and start doing all the things they thought about while they were there, the things they regret not doing. And subhanAllah, they were amazing people. They were not lacking in too much. We are, but we still waste so much time. And we get distracted so easily. A lot of people enjoy gossiping, arguing with others. Okay, they always have a topic or an issue that they're caught up in, discussing and wasting time. And a lot of us just like to rest a lot. We waste so much time just relaxing. We just love doing it. We like to take it easy all the time. Or we're caught up in vain, useless things that are not sinful, but they're just a waste of time. The moments of our lives are very precious. And once they're taken away, after they pass, there's no way to get them back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran over and over again that when they're gathered on the Day of Judgment, when people are gathered, they will feel like they only lived for one day or a part of a day. So imagine this day or part of this day that we're living in right now compared to the infinite, never-ending life of the hereafter. What's more important? What should we prioritize? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to wake up and do things to improve our eternal lives, the never-ending lives that will always be alive in. There will be no death there, and people will live forever. Those lives will never come to an end, so we have to make sure that we're sending a lot of good deeds for that life to make it comfortable for ourselves there. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that person happiness there, there will be no grief or fear for that person there whatsoever. In this temporary life, even when we're granted a blessing, when we're really happy, we are worried, right? In the back of our mind, we're always worried about that blessing being taken away from us. We worry about what can possibly happen in the future, about how that happiness can end at any time. And that is something people will not have to worry about once they get to Jannah. They won't ever be afraid of any of their blessings or their happiness being taken away. Everyone will be content there forever. They will not experience any sadness or grief at all. SubhanAllah. And that's the best thing. Because in this life, everyone is worried about something or the other. Everyone is going through one problem or more, or they're stressed out about something for some reason. No matter how healthy or successful someone is, they cannot buy happiness. But in Jannah, people will be happy. They will be so pleased in their eternal lives. So we have to race to do good deeds, to attain that never-ending happiness in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people who call out to Him, when they're made to stand upon the fire, they're going to call out to Him. But they will lie, and they'll say that they would believe and not reject His ayat if they got another chance and were returned to life. He says that they would do the same exact thing again if they got another chance. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us back to this life and what people do here today. وقالوا إن هي إلا حياتنا الدنيا. And they say, there is no other life except the life of this world. Some of the polytheists believed in the hereafter. They did believe that there is life after death, but they claimed that their idols will save them there. But others did not believe in the hereafter at all. They said that they would not be resurrected again. As if people are making up things about the hereafter, that it's not going to happen. Today, people say that they only have one life to live, so they want to enjoy it to the fullest, because none of the dead come back to tell us what happens after death. So they're not willing to sacrifice anything, or to be patient and work hard for Jannah and save themselves from Jahannam. They don't want to think about it since they can't see those things yet. They want to live their life the way they choose to. They say it's their life to do what they want. So they want to enjoy it the way they want to live. That's why the words Hayatuna Dunya are used here, meaning our life of the near. They're not willing to work for something that they aren't sure about when it comes to the hereafter, because they have doubts about it. They don't want to be told what to do. They say that they want to live their life according to their choice. They want to live their life to the fullest, and they think it's a good thing. Allahu Akbar. They say that they only have one life to live, so eat, drink, and be merry. And after that, وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَبْعُوثِينَ. And we should never be raised to life again. And their actions prove that this is what they believe. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us back to the Day of Judgment, to the events there, about what's going to happen to people who do this. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. And if you could witness the scene when they will be brought before their Lord. Can we witness it? We can't possibly witness it now, but we can imagine with the help of all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us here. Okay, all the things that He tells us, we can imagine. First, we learned about what will happen when they're made to stand before the fire. And now we're going to find out what happens when they are made to stand before their Lord. Qala, alaysa hadha bilhaq? He will ask. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, is this not a reality? He'll ask them this because they used to deny that they would be resurrected. So he says, isn't this the reality now? Of course they'll know since they'll be standing there that it is the truth. قَالُوا بَلَا وَرَبِّنَا. They will say, yes, by our Lord, this is reality. They will swear and say that it's the truth, even though they used to say that they won't be resurrected again when they were alive in dunya. Imagine how they will feel when they're made to stand in front of their Lord. People get nervous when a teacher is watching them, when they take a test. Imagine how people will feel when they're standing before Rabb, when He questions them. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was close to death, people were saying good things about her to comfort her. So she wouldn't be worried. She said to them, people, you are saying good things about me, but I'm so afraid of standing before Allah that I wish I had never been born. That's how much she feared having to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should imagine what it will be like when we are made to stand before our Lord and He questions us. What will that be like for us? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَى, if only you could see. The Quran invites us to do this, to imagine that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows we can't see, but He wants us to try to imagine it at least. And each one of us will have to stand before our Lord. The way we act nowadays, it shows that we don't really believe that we'll have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for account taking one day. Even if we don't say it straight out that we deny the hereafter, we deny having to stand before Him in the hereafter by the way we act. We disobey Him as if we don't have to stand before Him. Even Muslims do such horrible things sometimes and terrorize people as if they're free to do whatever they want. They act like they'll die and it will all be over, that they won't be accountable for their actions. That's what it feels like when we watch the news at times, that Muslims do not believe in resurrection and the day of reckoning, just like other people. Allahu Akbar. Qala, He will order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ, then taste the punishment for denying this reality. You constantly rejected the fact that you will be resurrected. So taste the torment now. And when we taste something, we just take a little bit of a piece of food or liquid and we can tell what it's like, right? There, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them to taste the punishment. Astaghfirullah. They'll be told to taste it because they denied that reality. قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ, in fact, those people who denied that they will ever meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lost. How did they deny meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They didn't believe that there will be a day of judgment, or that they will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stand before Him. During their lives, they acted like they won't be held responsible for their actions. They will go through a great loss since they won't have prepared to meet Him. Hatta idha ja'athum as-sa'atu baghtatan qalu ya hasratana ala ma faratna fiha, until the hour will overtake them all of a sudden and they'll exclaim, alas, how negligent we have been about this hour. Sa'atu actually refers to the day of judgment, but it can be the time of death as well, because death is like the day of judgment for a person too, because that's where it all begins from. The hereafter, the stages, the phases of the hereafter leading to the day of judgment. So death will overtake him suddenly, and then he will say, I haven't prepared for it at all. When death comes all of a sudden and people see the angels, they will get to know the reality of life and about what is beneficial or what causes loss. But it'll be too late to turn back at that point. They will find out about the real life, the eternal life, when they see the ghaib. So when death or the day of judgment suddenly comes, people will not expect death or the day of judgment to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us already, but we forget and we don't prepare for that great test. But when death or the day of judgment suddenly comes, and people see the unseen, the ghaib, they'll remember that they were warned about it before. And it's for real. It's the reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another part of the Quran, and fear Allah and know that you will definitely meet Him. Learn that. Get to know that. In Surah Al-Jathiyah, ayah number 34, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they'll be told, you will not be treated with mercy today. Just as you forgot the meaning of this day, we will forget you today. Your destination is Jahannam, and you will have no helpers. You never remembered about the Day of Judgment during your life, and never feared your Lord or being answerable for your actions. People act like there's no need to remember about all this, and that they'll just end up like everyone else in the end. But they don't realize that we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, on our own, to be questioned. The disbelievers used to reject that there's a day of reckoning. They said it wouldn't be possible for these bones to be put together again and stand. But people who forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reject it too by their actions. So even if we don't say it straight out, sometimes Muslims reject through their actions. By the way they act, they're basically saying that they don't believe. They'll go through the same laws in the hereafter, since they will not have prepared for it. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever wants to meet Allah, Allah wants to meet that person. And whoever dislikes having to meet Him, He dislikes meeting that person too. Aisha radiallahu anha asked Him what that meant. Because none of us want to die, right? Because we know that we're not ready. People don't like death. We don't like to die. So she asked what that means. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified that that's not what it means. When a true believer is about to die, he or she is informed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. That person will be eager to proceed and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then. That person will be looking forward to meeting Allah the most. But as for the disbeliever, they receive news of punishment. And they find out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with them when they're about to die. So they hate having to die and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not want to meet that person either. So wanting to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually means to do good deeds in preparation for that meeting with Him. Okay, so if we are preparing, if we're doing a lot to prepare, trying our best, we would actually want to meet with Him when death comes. When we are sure that we will meet Him one day, we want Him to be happy with us. We all know for sure that we are going to meet Him, right? As Muslims, we know that. So let's do our best to please Him. There's a Sahih Muslim hadith that tells us that right before death, when a person knows that they're about to die and they see the reality before them, for the person who wants to meet Allah and knows that they did whatever they could for His approval, they tried their best to please Him, that person will be ready to proceed as they die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to meet that person too. But as for the one who tries to run back because he hasn't prepared, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't care to meet them. So this time of meeting with Allah is also about the time of a person's death, when the soul is about to leave the body, because angels tell people about their end result at that time. The angels also tell them about the things in store for them. So the pious people like death, at that time. They want to move forward and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be granted all the blessings and favors that Allah has prepared for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to reward those people too. But those who didn't prepare will say that they're not ready yet. And they would want to return to this worldly life. And Allah would not care to meet them either. Astaghfirullah. When death suddenly comes, they will say, Ya hasratana ala ma farratna fiha. Oh, alas for us upon what we neglected in it. What did they neglect? Doing good deeds, in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, not praying salah properly, not having fasted properly, not paying the zakah or fulfilling the rights of others. People will regret all these things that they do because they were suddenly seized when death came, suddenly, and they weren't prepared. Or even when the day of judgment comes, it's going to come suddenly. Because on one fine morning, when people are doing their usual activities, it's going to come all of a sudden. Without anything unusual happening beforehand, nobody would have predicted that it will happen on that day. No forecast of any storm or tsunami or an earthquake whatsoever. So people will be carrying out their business as usual, doing everything that they normally do on a daily basis. And all of a sudden, the day of judgment will come. Nobody will know about the day of judgment until it happens. There will be no visible signs of it whatsoever until it comes. So whether it's the day of judgment or death, it will come suddenly. And that's when people who had rejected it will regret having neglected doing good deeds. They will really regret it then. وَهُمْ يَحْمِلُونَ أَوْزَارَهُمْ And they'll be carrying the burden of their sins. عَلَى ذُهُورِهِمْ On their backs. This is what will happen on the ground of Hashr. People will be carrying the burdens, the heavy loads of their sins on their backs. Imagine what that will feel like when nobody will carry our burdens for us. Here in this life, we ask others for help with carrying heavy things. Even when we're carrying groceries, we ask for help if there are a lot of things. But on the Day of Judgment, nobody will be able to help us. Even if we call them for help, they're not going to listen. In this worldly life, we get tired even if we have to hold our baby for too long and we put that child down. But there, we'll have to carry that load. We'll be made to carry it. That burden of our sins will be ours to carry alone. And sometimes people blame others for doing things that they do wrong. They say that they did them because of someone else. But on the Day of Judgment, that person will not be there to help them carry that burden. Even if that person led to them doing that sin. If they told you to do it, they will still not help carry that burden. And people won't have to carry their burden of sins for just one day or so. They're going to have to carry them for 50,000 years. So we should repent now and turn back and do good deeds now so we can lighten the burdens of our sins before this life is over. And that way we won't have to carry heavy loads of our sins there. Lighten that load for ourselves here because we won't be able to bear it. And Hadith tells us on the Day of Judgment, when people come out of their graves, a beautiful figure with a pleasant smell will appear and give them good news. Good deeds will have a form and will ask that person, that beautiful figure will ask, Do you recognize me? And that person will say, no, but you smell so pleasant. I have such a beautiful face. And that person will say, this is how you were. You were in worldly life too. I am your good deeds. And as for the disbelievers, the wretched, their bad deeds will welcome them when they wake up in the grave. Those bad deeds will come in an ugly form with a foul smell. And it will tell them that it's their bad deeds that they continue doing in dunya. It will climb on that person's back. People will have to carry on their backs the burdens of their sins. And those burdens can be light or heavy, depending on how many bad deeds they did. So bad deeds are a burden. We don't realize it yet when that burden gets heavy, but we will have to carry that burden of sins. And we'll realize how heavy it is when it shows up in its physical form on that day. أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَذِرُونَ. Beware. Evil indeed are the burdens that they carry. Other people will see how heavy their burdens are too. People pretend to be good here in front of other people. But imagine when others will see the heavy loads that we're carrying on the Day of Judgment. Everyone will learn about how great our loads are and what kind of sins. It's like carrying garbage. It will smell terrible and it will be loaded on our backs. Astaghfirullah. And people will be watching us, even though we try to hide those bad deeds from other people in life. And some people will be carrying other people's loads too, as well as their own. Why? Because they introduced people to those sins in life. They called people to sin. They did bad things in front of others, which others started doing as well. That's why they'll have to carry their loads as well as their own, without any decrease in the load the other person has to carry. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us against those heavy loads of sins. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.